My task today is to share with you some illustrations of how Dr. and Mrs. Pipkin illustrate being loving servants of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and arose again. And the Pipkins were compelled by the love of Christ, the Christ who had died for them, to give themselves in service to our Lord Jesus Christ. When I came from my home in Covington, Virginia in 1952, the fall of 1952, I just turned 17 in July, and the school was in its third year of existence. The Pipkins became role models, as well as instructors and away-from-home parents. So I cherish, having known them over the years, I cherish the heritage that I have with their loving servants in their loving service for our Lord Jesus Christ. And I challenge you to cherish that heritage that you share in as a student here at ABC. The Pipkins evidenced the fact that they were indeed loving servants of the Lord Jesus in a number of ways. I'd like to share with you a number of these ways in which they evidenced the fact that they were indeed loving servants of our Lord. Their loving service was evidenced by their love for God. God was at the center of their lives. He was at the center of everything that they did. They worshiped God personally. They did so as a family. They led us as a school to worship. And they led others in worship services in the church. Their love for God was seen in their faith. Daughter Sarah, in her account of her father's life, and Dr. Anderson referenced some of this, she wrote about their move from the pastorate in northern Minnesota to West Virginia. And I don't know if you've read that account, Dr. Anderson, of her father's life, but it's very moving as I read that account. And she shared, though they were living a life of faith, they had known the life of faith from the time they were in Bible Institute, at Moody Bible Institute, and on throughout their lives, they had lived by faith. And she said, though they had been living a life of faith through their entire ministry to this point, the move to West Virginia was the ultimate step of faith. They left Solway, Minnesota, with no promise of any support. And they arrived in Sylvester, West Virginia, with only a rented house, the promise of 7 students, a church that could be used for classrooms, and one promise of $25 support. That support they gained on the way down. They stopped to see some friends who pledged that $25 of support. There was not yet any place for the students to live. And that was August. And yet God provided a place for the students to live. A restaurant was no longer in use, was used for a dormitory for the students, that first class of students. And then by the time I got there the third year, additional room was needed. And so they were able to get an apartment building there in the area in Sylvester. It was called the Blue Goose. It had a distinctive blue color to it. Now it was painted white, but I noticed just recently when I was back preaching in that area, I went over and some of the white paint's chipped off. So we need to go down and paint it again. The old Blue Goose has shined through again. But God provided that dormitory, and God provided other years. It was really being a student there in those early days was a lesson in faith. We had to look week after week and month after month, we had to look to God for the provision of what we're going to need in the next few days. And again, God supplied. We didn't eat high on the hog, but we ate plenty of chicken. There was a guy that tithed his chickens, had a chicken farm up in Ohio, and tithed his chickens. I remember we had Dr. Herbert Lockyer, very distinguished speaker there. And he got up to speak, and he said, I got up, and I went to lunch, and it was chicken. and it was chicken again for supper. And then I came to breakfast, and it was just what I expected. So the Lord provided for all of our needs throughout our time there. Their love for God was seen additionally in their obedience to God's vision of the work to which He had called them. They envisioned not only the Bible Institute, but also they envisioned children's ministries. They envisioned Bible conferences and camps and various other ministries. And then when it was impossible to extend that, see that vision fulfilled there in the Whitesville area. How many of you have been to Whitesville area? You've missed out. Some of the rest of you are going to have to go. Down there the mountains go like this with the coal tipples. And cows can't walk between the hills without getting mud on both sides. It's down between the hills there in Whitesville. And that's where we went. You know, some people say, how did you stand living down there? I thought it was the most beautiful place in the world when I was down there, studying the Bible and being with friends in Christ and receiving the instruction of God's Word and being prepared for the Lord's service. But it was down there in Whitesville that they began to fulfill the ministry. But when it was seen that it could not be completely fulfilled there in that location, God provided for the move to this place in the spring of 1956. And so the school was relocated here. And the vision has been refined and expanded over the years. And now we can see the multifaceted ministries of the Appalachian Bible Fellowship. And thank God for the capable leadership that He gave to carry that vision forward. The vision that was originally in the hearts of our founders. Their love for God was seen in their labor. Whatever their hands found to do, they did it with all their might. They were hard workers, whether it was working with the mind or working with their hands. They spent many hours preparing themselves to minister and then laboring in ministry. And they took the lead when there was manual labor to be done. They took the lead in doing that as well. Dr. Pipkin loved to labor, whether it was pounding nails or driving a bulldozer. There's an interesting story concerning that, but we won't tell that. Their loving service was evidenced not only in their love for God, but it was evidenced in their love for the Word of God. They loved this book. They accepted the Bible without reservation as the Word of God. They loved God's Word and lived in it. They read it, they memorized it, they meditated on it, they applied it, and they put it into practice. And they shared the Word with others every opportunity they had. Mrs. Pipkin did so whenever she was given the opportunity, and Dr. Pipkin delighted in personally sharing the Word with others and in his public expositions. They gave their lives in preparing others to share God's Word. Dr. Pipkin loved to prepare his students to be expositors of the Word. And I thank God personally for the training that I received to be an expositor of the Word of God. Now, Dr. Anderson appreciated not only that, but I came from a background and I just appreciated learning how to organize my thoughts and a lot of things that I learned. But I learned a little bit about alliteration in those days. But Dr. Pipkin put a note on the top of one of my papers that would be good for all of us to remember. He wrote, "Good alliteration, watch desecration." Okay. No personal application there, okay? Students and fellow alumni, as I think about their devotion to the Word of God is our message. And I'm glad graduates of ABC are continuing to be expositors of the Word. So many preachers today have gone to short series on various subjects of interest. I believe the church will be better served and lives more radically changed through the faithful ministry of the Word of God. I hope we carry forth that heritage. Further, their loving service was evidenced in their love for one another and their love for their family. They were partners in ministry. He was without question the spiritual leader of the home, but they complemented one another in their differences. It's wonderful how God brings into our lives partners who make up for our weaknesses. Someone has rightly said, you know, if we always thought alike, one of us would be unnecessary. Well, Dr. Pipkin was a brilliant man, but it was difficult to match wits with her. And you sure didn't want to be on the other team when it came to board games or to card games. She was a winner. But most of all, she was a helper to her husband and a loving mother. And as busy as they were involved parents. You couldn't be around them long without their speaking of their children and then later on of their grandchildren. They set the example and sought to get each one to know and to serve Christ. When I knew I would have this session, I consulted with daughters Sarah, Ruth Ann, and Becky and enjoyed reading and hearing their accounts of life with Dad and Mom. They related how their dad, though very busy on the road, he had a very active part in their lives. He took them on trips with him, made things for them, laughed and played with them, and was their entertainer. They spoke of his famous chocolate milkshakes. That sounds all right, doesn't it? Well, it's been good to hear of children and grandchildren who have followed their example in loving service for our Lord Jesus Christ. Their loving service was evidenced in their love for people. People who love God love people. And they reach out in service for them, service to them in Jesus' name. The Pipkins related to people of different cultures. This was seen in their ministry in the Appalachian Mountains and in their many trips to the mission field. They loved people, and people reciprocated their love. Daughter Ruth Ann wrote, "Dad and Mom both believed that every man and woman was equal to them regardless of position or title. They strongly practiced respect for the other person. They listened to another person who had expertise in a specific area and valued the opinion of that individual, whether it was a mechanic or a senator. They took in a number of individuals who were down and out in physical, material, or spiritual ways. All were equal in their eyes. They were indeed without respect of persons." In my time together with Dr. Pipkin, a number of trips and things, he reached out to people. In fact, he usually was speaking to the waiters and waitresses and all the people with whom he came in contact. And it was a challenge for me to reach out to people and to seek to minister to people wherever I was. Their loving service was evidenced in their love for the gospel. They lived to make known the gospel at home and abroad. They sincerely believe the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. They never lost the wonder of their own salvation. Dr. Pipkin loved to speak of that day when he, as a young teen, took the visiting evangelist Paul Hutchins out to see his beloved car. He always had a love for cars. But as a teen, when he took the evangelist out to see his car, yet unsaved, he related, "On that dirt floor of that tin garage, I knelt with Mr. Hutchins and asked Jesus to come into my life." He told daughter Becky that was how life began for him. I remember hearing Mrs. Pipkin give her testimony about how she used to be concerned about not having some dramatic story to tell since she was saved early in life. And she didn't have some big story to tell about her conversion. But she said God impressed upon her the fact that it was His grace that had kept her from sin, as God's grace had saved others out of it. And she rejoiced in that. The Pipkins witnessed personally, sharing the gospel with neighbors, friends, and others as they had opportunity. There was a seeking note in Dr. Pipkin's preaching. Christians were indeed edified through his expositions, and souls were also saved. It was in those early days of the Bible Institute when our student choir traveled to my hometown of Covington for a service there. I sang in the choir such as it was in those days since I was in it. But we traveled to Covington for a special service. And I had been praying for a young man there in my hometown. I was dating my sister. Now my mother had a policy then. My sister was young and she said, the only way he can date you is to go to church with you. And so I'd been praying for Ralph Green. And Ralph Green attended that service from a local boy's home. He lived in a local boy's home. And Ralph came to that service, and right at the beginning of the invitation, he stepped out to receive Christ as his Savior. I had the privilege of going to a side room and sharing the Scripture with him, and he opened his heart to Jesus Christ. Became a student here at ABC and has faithfully served the Lord over the years. I know you've been praying for him with his cancer. But Ralph came to Christ. It was that seeking note that was there. For although there was the sharing of the Word of God and the exposition of the Word, there was the sharing of the gospel. And many, many other people over the years have come to Christ through the preaching of God's Word, through Lester Pipkin's preaching. There was a burning desire on the part of the Pipkins to see the gospel taken to the entire world. The Pipkins had wanted to go to the foreign field themselves, but were prevented from doing so. They obeyed God's call then to go to the home mission field. Later they ministered on many fields of the world. And of course the Pipkins were used to recruit many others to go into the harvest field. They were ever challenging others to go. I'll never forget that day very early in my time in school, when I was in what was termed missions class in those days, and Dr. Pipkin was teaching the class. And he said in that class, he said, and the Lord said to Isaiah, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Then he asked the question, have you ever said, here am I, Lord, send me? And that kept ringing in my mind all day long. Have you ever said, here am I, Lord, send me? Have you ever said, here am I, Lord, send me? And that night I knelt by my bunk bed and said, here am I, Lord, send me. That was over 61 years ago. Somebody said, if you say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, you better get your hat and coat, because He'll send you. And that's been over 61 years ago and been busy for the Lord ever since. Missions were important at the beginning of ABI and continue to be the heartbeat of Appalachian Bible College. Even those early days of the school, missionaries were frequently brought in to challenge students with the needs of the world. May the students of this school ever continue to go into all the world to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their loving service was evidenced in their love for the church. Dr. Pipkin made it clear that he believed the New Testament church was God's agency for doing His work in the world. Dr. Pipkin was a pastor before his call to minister in Appalachia. The Pipkins were always faithful members of a scriptural church. Dr. Pipkin served various churches throughout his ministry. He had a part in the organization of my home church that I referenced earlier. Also the Marietta Bible Center Church. Dr. Pipkin loved to teach his class on the New Testament church. That class was added to the curriculum later, but I got a copy of his notes. Pastor Mark Johnson had this to say, related in a letter to Sarah. After Dr. Pipkin died, he wrote Sarah, "I will never forget the required course that Dr. Pipkin taught my freshman year on the local church. The first assignment was to look up every verse in the New Testament with the word ecclesia and classify it as local church or universal. I've never forgotten that assignment or the passion for the local church that he taught and lived. I'm sure that the emphasis on the local church that he ingrained in ABC had a lot to do with me becoming a pastor instead of entering some other kind of ministry." Dr. Pipkin loved to preach on the New Testament church. One of his favorite series that he preached early in his ministry and preached many, many times throughout the years on many occasions, many places, he loved to preach on the seven churches of Revelation. Let's always remember our heritage. Our Lord said, "I will build my church." And what a building project we're involved in. And I thought I would just kind of throw this in. Their loving service was evident in their love for God-honoring music. Music is such a major thing today that I thought it would be good to include it. Music has always been important here at ABC. And Mrs. Pipkin had a major part, the music minister from the beginning, teaching music, playing for the choir, and in church services. If you were around in those days, you haven't forgotten the fervor with which she played her special arrangements. I remember her rendering of, and I can't find the song in many books anymore, but I did find it online. Boy, it's great what you can find online these days. "Master, the tempest is raging." Boy, when she played that, she attacked that piano, and as the storm raged, the piano raged along with it, and you could feel the storm coming. And then there was the "peace be still, the peace be still." And you appreciated her ministry in such a wonderful way. Actually, when you heard her play that thing, it was the Grand Canyon Suite of gospel piano music. Now, believe it or not, we even had our differences in musical taste in those days. Before the advent of Elvis and rock music, you see, these folks had come from up north. And they had come to Appalachia. And there is a little difference in music. But all of us, one thing we had in common was we all loved the old hymns, singing them, and the choruses that we sang in those days. Well, music has undergone a lot of changes, but there's a constant with history and today at ABC. Back then and now, there's an insistence that the lyrics must be scriptural and understandable enough for people to get the message. Now, I don't believe that all the good music was written 100 years ago, but I do trust that the old hymns will always have a place in our lives and in our worship. Our founder had a favorite hymn. I commend it to you as a lifelong companion. He often requested it. Since I had the privilege of leading singing for him on a number of occasions, I want to relive that experience. And I'd like for us, as we sing it together this morning, I would like for us to visualize Dr. Lester Pipkin at the feet of Jesus singing with us. Maybe the Lord will let him listen in as we join in and sing.